Thank you, and I also welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. This morning, I want you to open your Bible with me to two passages of Scripture, and as I usually do, I want to remind you to get your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, then get a pencil and a piece of paper, write down the Scripture references, and study them, and look them up in your Bible, and see what they say. See whether I'm telling you the truth. Would you take Ephesians chapter 1 in one hand, as they say, and 2 Timothy chapter 2 in one hand. Now, we've been talking about some things pertaining to this dispensation that we live in as compared to the others and whatever. And so I've been talking about the church that is there in Matthew chapter 16, comparing it to the church, which is the body of Christ. And so we want to continue with that thought this morning. I want you to read with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice in verse 15, 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. And by the way, I might remind you before I read. If you've not been watching the television broadcast, if this is your first time watching the broadcast, our purpose is twofold. Number one, we want to show whosoever it might be that salvation is by grace through faith. Now, when I say that, I know that people say, well, that's exactly what I believe, and sometimes I find out in discussing it with them, that's not what they believe. I want to show you that all of the work of your salvation was performed by Christ at Calvary. The Bible says that by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, and on and on and on. So your problem this morning is sin. Now, as that is used in Romans chapter 5, it's not your actions, it's your nature. By one man, sin, a nature, a bad nature, an evil nature, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So why do people die? Because they were born in sin. They were born with an evil nature. The Bible said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So the main problem with people is sin. So the idea is to show you that the work that Christ performed in your behalf was to die for your sin. The Bible said, the wages of sin is death. But Christ died at Calvary. When Jesus Christ died, he paid for the sin of Adam, and he did it in your behalf. So you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and what he did at Calvary is put to your account. So there are people that say, well, okay, Brother Moore, I believe that. And yet, I may be talking to somebody right now that deep back in there somewhere, you believe there's more to it than that. You believe that you have to work for it. You believe that you have to go to church. You have to live it. You have to be a Christian. You have to strive to toe the line and whatever. But that's not the case at all. The point I want to make is that you quit trying and start trusting. No matter how hard you try, you can't change being what you are. You're a sinner by nature, and you're a sinner by choice, and you're never going to change that. God is the only one that can change it, and he'll do it when the Bible said that he changes our vile body and makes them like unto his glorious body. So you trust Jesus Christ. So our first priority is to show people that salvation is free. Salvation is based upon what Christ did for you and not what you're doing for the Lord. You can't do anything before or after trusting Christ. You can't do anything to gain the favor of God in order that you might go to heaven. Now, number two is to establish the believer in the truth of right division. Notice the passage here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All of the Bible is written for us. It is for our admonition and our learning. Genesis through Revelation is for us. But it isn't all written unto us. It is for us, but not unto us. So I must rightly divide the word of truth. What is the word of truth that we want you to see? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul said that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, verse 13 is very important. Hold of the verse and go to chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. Now notice verse 12. That at that time, time past, of verse 11. Verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. If I put on the board up here, and I say, all right, right here is the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his death is here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would be in here. Now, in time past, he said, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, these Ephesians were not ally with Israel's commonwealth. They were aliens. So, these Ephesians were without Christ and without God. Why? Because they were not a part of Israel's commonwealth. When Christ came, he came unto Israel. Now look at verse in chapter 1, verse 13 again. In chapter 1, verse 13, a reference to Jesus Christ, in whom you also trusted. You Ephesians. You Ephesians that back there was without Christ because you were not in the commonwealth of Israel. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So I'm going to put a parenthesis up here. I'm going to say that this parenthesis up here represents the dispensation of the gospel. Turn please to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, that is, preach the gospel willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So I'm going to say, here is the dispensation of the gospel of Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, now remembering, Romans 1, 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, what is the gospel of Christ? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. By the way, you either believe that Paul was given a gospel. He calls it my gospel. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, he calls it my gospel. In Romans 16, 25, he calls it my gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, about verse 8 along in there. My gospel, my gospel, my gospel. The gospel of Christ, my gospel. The gospel of Christ was committed to the Apostle Paul. Now, look at the verse. Chapter 15, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well then, what is the gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul? It's the fact that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But wait a minute. There is no reference to this being true in Matthew through John. Do you realize that the love of God toward sinners such as we is not even mentioned in Matthew? Why don't you check it out? Why, in Ephesians chapter 2, look what he says. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, isn't that something? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and so forth and so on. So what I learned by all this, I learned I must rightly divide the word of truth. What is the word of truth? It's the gospel of your salvation. Well, the gospel of your salvation is not the gospel of the kingdom preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For in time past, you were without Christ and without God in this world. So we've been trying to show that the church back there of Matthew 16 and Acts chapter 2 is not the church which is the body of Christ. So I've emphasized that that church back there is strictly Jewish. These Ephesians are not included. In time past, he told them, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. So what a Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew 10, Jesus sent the 12 out, and he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. So I'm going to put up here, Gentiles. Back here, I'm going to put Jews. Matthew 10, verse 5, 6, along in there, sending the apostles, go not in the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The people over here in our age had no part with it. In Matthew chapter 15, a Gentile woman came to Jesus Christ and said, please come and heal my daughter. She's grievously vexed with the devil. He answered her not a word. Matthew 15. And in Matthew 15, notice in about verse 24, 5, let's see. Give me just a second. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, he said to the apostles, go not in the way of the Gentiles. In Matthew 15, he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I know there are people, preachers, priests, whatever, all over the world today. They don't even more believe this Bible than my cat does. They believe what their denomination teaches them to believe. They don't believe this Bible. In Romans chapter 15, verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, says, in time past, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Why will you not believe the Bible? Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision sent unto Israel. What was he doing? Confirming the promises made unto the fathers. You Ephesians, you Gentiles, how about you? You were not in those covenants of promise. You had no hope and without God in the world. And it doesn't make any difference if some individual today who is a pastor of a church in Pensacola or a school in Pensacola is able to manipulate your minds and make you believe that those promises back there were unto you. The Bible said they're not unto you. So that church back there in Matthew 16, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That church is strictly Jewish. Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. John chapter 1, he came unto his own. Who is his own? Jews, Israelites, circumcision. Romans 15:8, Christ was a minister of the circumcision. What was he teaching? Confirming the promises made unto the fathers. There isn't a problem with that. It's simple as ABC. The doctrine then, the gospel to the church, which is the body of Christ, wasn't preached by Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It wasn't preached by John or James or any of the 12. It wasn't preached in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and so forth. In Acts chapter 10, there is a Gentile that worshiped God, gave much alms to the Israelites, prayed to God always, and the Lord said, send for Peter. But Peter didn't want to go to that man's house. That man's a Gentile. Peter didn't want to go there. And when the Lord finally convinced him to go, and he went into the house, in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, he said, you know, it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. I dare you to think about it. Why, he had already been told in Matthew 28, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He had already been told in Mark 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He had been told in Luke 24, go to the nations. And yet, Peter said to a Gentile, it's an unlawful thing for a man that says you to keep company or coming to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I shall not call any man common or unclean. Well, God showed him in Acts chapter 10. He didn't show him in Matthew 28, Mark 16, or Luke 24, or John 3:16. He showed him in Acts chapter 10 that he should not call any man common or unclean. So I know something. The church back there of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and on, is a Jewish assembly. when a Gentile got into that assembly, he got in on the basis of the gospel that those people believed by repentance and water baptism. So that brings me to the next point. The message that was preached back there is the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel of the kingdom? It's repentance and baptism for remission of sins. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus Christ preached it. The 12 apostles preached it. But Peter, one of them, didn't even believe Jesus was dying for his sins. Why, in that same context of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, I'm going up to Jerusalem and they're going to crucify and kill me, but after 3 days I'm going to rise from the dead. And Peter said, not so, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Read it. He'd been preaching the gospel of kingdom, but he didn't know that Jesus Christ was going to die. Come on, folks. We're not talking about he didn't know Christ was going to die for his sins. That surely didn't enter in the picture. He didn't even know Christ was going to die. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, he drew a sword and he began to try to stop Christ from being crucified. And the Lord said, put up the sword. It's for this hour that I came into the world. Are you listening? Peter preached the gospel of the kingdom but didn't know Christ was going to die. Well, then the fact that Christ was going to die for anybody's sins is not in the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so Peter doesn't preach it in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Read it. Say, but our denomination teaches. But what does the Bible say? Pick up a Bible and look. So the church back there is Jewish. The gospel back there was the gospel of the kingdom. The believer had to be faithful unto death to get into the kingdom. In other words, at the second coming of Christ over here, Satan will be chained in the bottomless pit. Christ will reign for 1,000 years. And to get into that kingdom, those of the 3,000 of Acts 2 that believed and were baptized, those of the 5,000 of Acts 4 that repented and were baptized, and so forth and so on, all of those people had to be faithful unto death. We've already gone over it. To get into the kingdom of God. So that brings me to today. Those that are resurrected, those that endured to the end and are resurrected to go into the kingdom are born again. Turn to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a good question. Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A man had to be born again. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh, water birth. All that's born naturally comes by water, whether it's skin, scales, or feathers, born of water, a water birth. Except a man who has already been born, except that man be born again. That man cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's clear. So to get in the kingdom of God, a man, according to the passage, had to be born of the Spirit. Jesus Christ is a good illustration. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, Paul is the speaker here. Notice he says, verse 29, when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them that came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now notice verse 33 again. In the context, Paul is talking about Christ being raised from the dead. Verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, verse 18, the context is Jesus Christ, who is the head of all things. Verse 18, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Then Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, but then he was born again. He died upon the cross for your sins. He paid for your sins with his death at Calvary, and was buried, representing the tomb representing a womb, so to speak, and was begotten of God, born from the dead, born again from the dead. And one day he's going to come again. Those people back there had to be born again, born of the Spirit, resurrected to go into the kingdom. Now my time is up today, so I'm going to continue this next Sunday, Lord willing, about the new birth. Please be listening then. Until then, I want you to remember, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust him that he died for your sins, and God will save you. Till then, good day.